Welcome, everyone, to Heart Shift Radio. This is Marcy Newman, your Heart Shift coach, and I'm really so excited to have with me Belinda Farrell today. Welcome, Belinda.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been an exciting pleasure to meet you.
I have to share with our audience that I was just about to begin our interview. And I told Belinda, okay, I'm going to start our recorder. We're going to just jump right in. And I disconnected our call instead. So it always adds
for...
That's why we're laughing. And I think it's wonderful because now we'll really enjoy ourselves, won't we?
That's right.
And
totally.
And I have to say, it's so fitting considering that what you talk about is finding your friggin' joy. So.
That's right. That's right. Not taking yourself seriously. And that's what
right.
we're doing. We're just being in the moment.
That's exactly right. So look how wonderful spirit is to make certain that we had the energy to do that. So, all right. All seriousness aside, I'm going to officially introduce you. So Belinda Farrell is the author of Find Your Friggin' Joy. And she is, aside from being an author, she's a hypnotherapist. She's also trained in past life regression, NLP, Hawaiian chanting, and ancient Hawaiian healing, which is Huna, and I'm sure that Belinda would tell us more about that. Belinda also is trained with Anthony Robbins, and this is really some claim to fame, but you have completed 18 firewalks. That is outstanding. And I would not want to be your foot masseuse.
I burned once severely.
Oh, Lord. But
I have all the experiences of firewalking.
That's amazing, really. And just a little bit more about Belinda's background. When she was 48, she collapsed with herniated discs and spinal nerve damage. And threatened with paralysis, she decided that she didn't want to have surgery. And she chose instead to apply the ancient Hawaiian healing practices that she had been learning the previous 3 years. And they're covered in her book. Her back completely healed, including her childhood scoliosis. And now for 15 years, she has been sharing these healing practices with others, offering reconnective healing and Huna classes, and taking clients to Hawaii to teach Huna and swim with the wild spinner dolphins. So amazing. I want to welcome you, Belinda. We have so much to talk about. I noticed as I was reading through all of your work and your credentials and everything, we actually have quite a bit in common. And
wow.
It's been a wonderful journey for me, and I can see that you've just had this incredible journey. And so I would love for you to start telling us in your own words the journey that took place within you.
Wow, that's a big order.
Mm-hmm.
I think after I got divorced at 40, I've had two children, and I was married to a surgeon, and I had a great life, but it was unfulfilling in the spirit department. I didn't know what my soul was reaching for, but it was not the life that I was having at that time. And so I embarked on my own, and I met Tony Robbins, and that resonated with me. Who knows why, firewalking, but it stands for a metaphor that whatever you can do that you think is impossible, if you can do it, then what else can you do in your life? And so walking on 2,000 degrees of hot coals really kind of brought it home. So if I could do that, what else could I accomplish? And what came up for me was I wanted to drive a race car.
Oh, my Lord. And
yeah, I know. Some people may start a garden, you know, go travel, but I wanted to drive a race car. And Tony teaches you that if you say you can't, you must. And then if you must, you will. So I didn't let that, you know, discourage me. I called a racetrack and, excuse me, and then I booked myself for a 4-day Grand Prix road racing course, and not even knowing how to drive a stick shift, I went with nothing.
That must have been interesting.
Yeah, just the desire, the desire to learn. I just said I was a sponge, and it turned out I had some talent. And at the end of the 4 days, they hired me to drive for Buick and Cadillac in New York, and that's how my stunt career began.
This is remarkable. I'm sure.
And I was 30, yeah, I was 42 years old, and I started a course at the racetrack to learn more about spins and slides and counterterrorism driving, and it was amazing, but I loved it, and it came really easy to me. And so off I went. I got a partner. We joined a crew in Los Angeles, and I just went all over the country doing car commercials and driving Formula Atlantics and Formula Fords, and it just was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
It really is remarkable.
And then I collapsed with herniated discs, as you had mentioned. And by that time, when you're not working, you get dropped by your insurance companies.
Mm.
So I had no money. I mean, it wasn't that I didn't choose the surgery. I had no money for surgery. So I had to really kind of pull my resources together. I'd been studying the HUNA for 3 years. I was fascinated with it. I would go to the Big Island and learn from the kahunas what they used in their earlier days to heal bones, to heal anything. And it was done with the ha breath and with clearing out the negative thought forms from the body, from your DNA, and forgiving yourself and letting go so the pipeline up to your higher self could be reached with your desires. And so that's what I focused on. I couldn't walk, I couldn't stand, I couldn't sit. All I could do was lie down in bed. And my son had picked me up off the floor because my body was not supported by my legs anymore. And I just concentrated on pulling up these memories that had been plaguing my lower back. You know, everything is related to something that we've stuffed down inside of us.
Yes.
The body gets the very last, indication that there's something wrong. And so, my back has money issues, there's support issues, and I had all of that. And so in my book on page 109, there's a memory that comes up that really was the pinnacle of, me realizing, oh my gosh, this little person, it was something from my birth, and it was a fetus that had been thrown out into an abyss, like a piece of garbage.
Hmm.
And it was very frightening, and I felt like I was dying at the time. When I finally came out of it, I was in a pool of water, sweat, and it was like the dark night of the soul had come to meet me. But this little fetus, it wasn't, though, it was thrown out, but then it was caught by these really benevolent hands that came down to reach out for it and pulled it out of the chaos and safely in the arms of this very divine being. I don't know, I never saw the face, it just felt like it was a divine being. And I just felt loved and accepted, and it just, the chaos just seemed to go away. And when I got out of there, to myself, I said, I've got to find out what was it about my birth that this brought this up. And I talked to my mother, and she finally admitted that she and my dad, whom I had never met, had taken me to 3 abortion clinics. and they had tried unsuccessfully to have me aborted.
Oh, my Lord.
So the memory
Oh,
that I
my
was keeping,
Lord. Wow.
you get that now. So I was holding on to that and proving so hard to try to be loved. You know, a lot of people have to work really hard because they don't feel that they're lovable. And so they work hard at being worthy to be loved. And that's what I had been doing most of my life.
Wow.
And yeah, but then it was like I got released from that. So I knew that I was accepted and that I was loved, maybe not by my human parents, but by something far greater than them. And so I was able to then focus on the healing part of my back, which is allowing my unconscious mind to feel how excited it would be if it could climb trees again, because I used to climb trees as a kid. And when you climb trees, you have to have a flexible back. So that's what you give the unconscious. You give them the end result. And I kept visualizing and feeling what it felt like to climb those trees. And the unconscious, which is like a little 2-year-old, would get excited about it. And then it would just send that desire up this pipeline, which was no longer obstructed with my negative thoughts, because that had been released. And the higher self, which is in every one of us, could then drop down in the physical form this wonderful back that it gave me. I just, after doing that for a period of about 4 days, I was in bed for a month. But after about the fourth day of concentrating and doing that, I got out of bed. I was perfectly well. I went and had an X-ray. My spine was aligned. It was like a miracle, like
Wow.
somebody had just given me a brand new spine.
Not like a miracle, it was a miracle. I
It's a
mean,
miracle.
that is a
Well,
miracle.
I followed the recipe though, and that's, I
So,
explained that in one of the chapters, that things, when they seem to be a miracle, you don't know how they work. But I really did the ha breathing, and I forgave myself for things that had come up, and you know, I worked at it.
Sure.
There was a recipe, and the result was that I got the healing.
And you bring up such a great point, because I know when people come to me and ask me to work with them, one of the things that I ask them is like, well, what are you willing to do? You know,
Yeah.
are you really committed? Because if you're looking for me to create those changes in you, it's not going to happen. But I can guide you. I can help to
Right.
facilitate that healing. But free will is what determines the outcome, isn't it?
Yes, you cannot change somebody's free
No,
will.
no.
That's the
So,
choice.
yeah, and taking those actions is the most important thing. So,
Right.
I'm really excited to hear that you've shared all of this in your book. And
Yeah, it's
will
like, you
people
know,
be able to access these parts of themselves as well by following the recipe that you shared there?
well, I hope, certainly hope so. And then I also have, I have CDs,
Oh, wonderful.
and I have a CD called Chant and Forgiveness, and that takes you through the process of forgiveness with yourself, because it's allowing this stuff to come up. It's ancestral, you know. It's related to the, you know, your ancestors and the things that you've brought in with you.
Yeah.
And you know, when you bring it up, it from the body, you get closure. If you can get closure and learn whatever you needed to learn from it, then the body just expels it, and you're free. You know, you're lighter, and then you can create and have much more fun.
Yeah.
I always
So,
like to,
go ahead.
I don't know, I equate your energy with money. You know, and if you give your energy away daily with anger and fear and hurt and all that, you go into deficit, and then you don't have enough energy when it comes time to healing your body.
That's right. That's a perfect analogy. You know, I wanted to just ask you something. You spoke about chanting. I don't really speak to people often who use chanting as a healing therapy. How powerful is it?
Very. I
Why?
mean, there are, There are certain sounds that are made, the vibrations of the heart. There's a saying that if you don't chant, your heart becomes as brittle as a leaf in the fall.
Ooh.
That's yoga, the great yoga Muktananda has stated. Yeah, it's part because it resonates your heart. It comes right from the heart. It's not from the head. When I do a chant, and if you want me to, I can. This is it's a chant that clears all the darkness from your soul and puts you in a state of just sheer protection. I do it in the car. It's on my CDs. I mean, it just relaxes you. It changes the vibration around you. So if there's danger around you, that would transform itself to no danger.
Well, you know, I've never had anybody chant on this show. I think our audience would absolutely love it. I know I would.
Okay. Well, I'd be honored.
Okay,
I
mean, thanks.
And when I chant, again, it's like the ancients are chanting with me. So it's not just my voice. It's all the lineage of the people that came before me that chant with me. So just take a deep breath.
Okay.
Hai nohana ke kuya kanai hel hele ya le hi ya hi ya he te ti o ho ho e ta u ko ko he he na ki no malu i kalani malu e ho e o ho lu mahi ana ho kane hi kona kahu ho ho no hi ke
oh my lord. Thank you so much. I could feel that vibrating through my whole body.
Yeah, it's something different. It bypasses the mind. It goes right into the heart and the soul so that it's ancient remembrances of who we really are. And the breath is what brings all this on. There's a chant, I have a chant that changes the weather, and it does so. I do it with... You know, it's ecologically safe because you don't want to always be changing the weather.
Sure.
But once in a while, it comes in handy. And this one, both of this chant and the one that does the weather is also written in my book. So it's possible to learn them, and that's what I had to do. You know, I just resonated with them, and I just learned them like a language.
So I have to say, I'm certain that there are some eyes that are rolling back in the back of their heads in this moment, especially to hear you talking about changing the weather. But again, I want to encourage everyone here at HeartShift Radio to keep an open heart and keep an open mind and always to ask, how can I look at this differently? And I'm so thrilled that you're here sharing this with us because, you know, the one thing that has impacted me since you started to talk, and particularly when you, we were introducing your chant, and that was that this is deep within us. This is ancient information that is within each of us that we have forgotten. I know for myself, I've come to certain places in my life and it's like, whoa, wait a second. I don't have to do this like that. I remember something different. And it's really made such a difference in my life. And so I'm hoping people are really taking this in. And the next question I want to ask you is, where did you learn all this? Where did you find people who could teach you this?
That's a very interesting question because I really feel there's a synchronicity that connects us all to the people that we're supposed to be with. And I was invited to go to Hawaii to learn a mastery course in hypnosis and past life regression. And I was introduced to this ancient Hawaiian healing in that same class by some of these old kahunas. And I was fascinated by the simplicity of it and by the genuine, interesting healing properties that it had. And I started doing some of them and feeling a ton better. And it didn't really take much excitement. Yeah, I mean, it was simple. It was just really basic about forgiving yourself for the past and for all the things that you judged yourself about. And once you cleared that pipeline, it was a free rein to get up to your higher self, which you would send up a desire or you know, any kind of wish you had unobstructed, and the higher self would bring it down inside of you. If it was, for me, it was healing my back that I had severe scoliosis, and I had nerve damage, and eventually, ouch, too. So by learning all of these things, I registered it. It was a period of 3 years of really just integrating and processing, and when the time came to heal myself, pulled from all that repertoire of like a treasure trove of knowledge that I had to put to use to really heal myself, because I had no insurance. I really had to count on that this was going to work, and I believed it would, and it did. And the kahunas, we call them master teachers, I begged them to teach me the chants. And the chants had really powerful vibrations and tones that could really just shift your body from a dark place into light and into protection. And so eventually they accepted me, even though I was the so-called howly, you know, the white person with no breath. that's what the howling means, without breath.
Wow.
So I learned, you know, how to do conscious breathing, how to breathe to the top of the head. That's all in my book. And I learned that also from the dolphins. And it's really interesting. I had never, ever been a water person. I never thought of dolphins. I never thought of what I liked them, but they were never on my radar. So here I am in Hawaii, and I'm doing this ha breathing and learning how to connect to my higher self. And what comes into my psyche are dolphins and whales.
Amazing.
And they fill me up. And that night I start dreaming about dolphins and whales, and they're teaching me how to swim. And the next morning I'm just like, where can I go be with them? Oh, I have to go in the water. Oh, but I don't like the water. But I have to. So there's this big conversation going on. My desire to be with those dolphins surpassed my fear of the water. And eventually I got out there. They downloaded information into me, and I stopped thinking about my fear, and the water became the most nurturing. The ocean became this nurturing place where I would go meet my friends, the dolphins. And then they would teach me incredible things. And the breath was one of them, because I would watch them come up and take a deep breath every 7 minutes, or else they would die. They're
amazing.
Conscious breathers.
Really?
Yeah. So
it's so remarkable.
It really is. It's so... synchronistic, I guess that's what you want to say, because they completed me, they fulfilled me, they opened my heart, and that's what they do for other people. And I take people to Hawaii. I've been doing this now for 25 years. I used to take groups, big groups, for 10 years, but now I just take one person for a week, and it's a concentrated week of, you know, swimming in the ocean in the morning. They're protected bays, so they're very gentle, where the dolphins have been coming in for years. And we do healing work. We go to sacred sites. We, you know, I cook for you. I do everything for you except fly you there. You have to fly there, and I pick you up in Kona. But it is an amazing transformational week, not your typical vacation, because it definitely is centered on you and your transformation and your healing together with the dolphins who help.
That's going on my bucket list. I just want you to know that. I can feel it now.
Well, we have the first trip is August 19th to the 25th, and then the second one is August 26th to September 1st. And I take one person or two, a couple, no more than two at a time. And it's just an amazing, you can't describe it, because for every person it's different. I've had some people that have come four and five times to my seminars. They've just loved it and grown so much that, you know, each time is something magnificent.
I'm telling you, I have never heard anything like this before. And I know that there were probably some people, and I've said this before, you know, you can feel their eyes rolling to the back of their head when you're talking about getting information from the dolphins and everything. But, you know, it really calls for us to expand our hearts so that we can expand our possibilities. And, you know, we all talk about being one. We are one. And this oneness includes the ability to communicate on many different levels with all things. So this program just sounds so remarkable. Is all this information on your website, by the way?
Yes, under Spiritual Journeys, and I'd just love to talk to anybody in person. My phone number, my email address is there. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you can experiment with talking to the dolphins. You don't even have to think you're talking to them. You just think a thought, and they read you immediately and give you back an answer like a hologram. There was a dolphin that had this remora fish. It's like a leech, and it was just irritating this poor dolphin to no end, and he was trying to shake it off, and they just, you know, the more they shake, the more this thing clings on. And he went right by me, and I said to myself, you know, I can help you take that off. I just thought that thought for a moment, because I know some symbols. You learn symbols in Huna, and one of them is to banish earth, you know, pesky earth energies. And so that dolphin went about 100 feet. He turned around, and he came back, and he just planted himself right in front of me with this fish flapping in my face. You know, do your work.
Oh, my God.
So, I did it. I did the symbol a couple of times. The fish let go, and the dolphin just was ecstatic, just ecstatic.
Absolutely. And it was amazing.
It was such a confirmation. All I had was the thought. He read my thought, came back, and said, do it.
Well, this is absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I'm not kidding. This is on my bucket list. I hope to see you soon.
I know. A few years ago, I was going to be turning 70, and I turned 73 next week. Mm-hmm. But I thought, what am I going to do for my 70th birthday? And I got this clear message from them, go to Paris. Book your trip to Paris. And I came back to the house, and I called United Airlines, and I had enough miles to go there and back, and I booked my trip. And that year is when I met this love of my life. And he took me to Paris, and we went on a very different trip than I would have gone on by myself, but the dolphins set me up for it.
I love this. Oh, my God, so amazing.
They give you such clarity. That's what I want to say. That, you know, I get such clarity from having been with them. I come back home and I clear everything off that's not important, and I just do the things that, you know, that rate my attention.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I mean, I know you're really putting yourself out there, and that's fantastic. Thank you. Well, I'm going to share a quick little story with you. A number of years ago, I was working with a little autistic boy. He was 8 years old and had no language and had a lot of behavioral challenges. And his parents brought him to me. And I knew right away that I needed to start my communication with him telepathically. And so through a series of practices, we developed an incredible communication. But one of the other things that I did was when he would come to my office, is I would play dolphin conversation in the background. So I would play it very softly. And I remember one time I didn't have it playing when he came in, and he just stood in the center of the room and wouldn't move. And he was asking me telepathically, where are they?
Mm-hmm.
And I went immediately over and I turned them on, and then he sat in the chair. And
wow.
What was interesting also was that his mother decided that she was going to redecorate his room. And she brought him some, wallpaper borders to choose from. And she told me that he didn't want any of them. And I suggested to her that she bring a border, if she could find it, with dolphins on it. And mm. when he saw it, he started to jump up and down and squeal.
Yeah.
And that's exactly. He was mimicking their sound.
Yeah.
It was such an incredible experience. So I know the power that they have to communicate, and it comes into our field that goes directly to our hearts.
Yeah, well, the sonar in the water is just, it just transmits that.
Yeah.
And so you can't hold on to any fears or sadness. It's like they just melt it. They change you. You know, they change you from disharmony to harmony.
That's right.
And it's like they're a theta alpha. They don't have the beta self-talk the humans have.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to just create that in you. And so you fall in love with people that are right near you. It's very dangerous.
Yes.
But, yeah, I do all kinds of chortles and squirks, and on my enchantment CD there are sounds of dolphins and whales.
Beautiful.
In that, in between. No, it's just amazing.
I think what's amazing too is how beautifully you have integrated all these different parts that have spoken to your heart in what you offer to people. And we haven't talked about your own joy techniques. What are those?
Oh, well, I do cut cords daily.
Okay.
And so, I mean, we live in a very, you know, toxic world with lots of media blitzy and all kinds of things that, you know, can bomb-blast you. And you have to have a way of, you know, dissolving that. So I cut cords daily.
Can I just ask you to share with our audience, what does that mean to cut cords? Some people listening may never even heard of a cord, have no idea what that is. So talk
right.
a little bit about that.
Well, the ancient Hawaiians called the cords that we weave around ourselves aka. And it's like an emotional attachment that we have to objects or people or to an event that happened to us. We get corded. And even the Bible talks about it, the webs we weave around ourselves.
Ooh.
It's kind of icky because it if you have left it alone, it accumulates and you're dragging like a sack of potatoes around with you. You've not learned how to dissolve it. Nobody has taught you how to dissolve these cords. If you have no emotional attachment, they dissolve automatically. But if you attach yourself to something and you want that thing, or you're mad at that thing, or you feel guilty about that thing, these cords will build up around you and it'll become an object. You know, anything that you focus on, you create it into reality.
Mm.
So the cord cutting is a way of dissolving that. I mean, we try to handle our, you know, our problems, our thoughts, painful memories of people, places, things. But the intellect can't alone solve all these problems because it just manages it. So you want to let them go, and that's what Ho'oponopono does. It's a way of letting go. And what I do is I visualize, and if you are visual, and I'll put people down on a stage and make them very tiny, the people that you're connected to. even the ones you love dearly, because all you're going to dissolve is your agenda with them. You're going to just let go of the way you're looking at something so that it can rise up to something higher. So you put them down below, you make them very tiny, and the book goes through this detailed, very detailed, and so does my CD, Chant and Forgiveness. And then you just offer the forgiveness to yourself just by saying, I'm sorry, I love you, I forgive you, thank you. And just by saying those words, it becomes like something neutralizing the energy associated with that person, place, or thing. And you can take a knife, scissors, chainsaw, and spin it around you, and then watch the people float away or just move away from the stage. And then what happens, as they get released, a new slate comes in. They get released into the void. You've heard that, the feel, the void.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all new creation is born again. So divinity comes in and fills that void with light, and you're lighter.
Mm.
It doesn't take long. I do it at night when I'm taking a bath.
Mm-hmm.
I cut cords. I put myself even down below, because we always have some kind of judgment about ourselves.
Of course,
right?
Sure.
And it's usually not very nice. So we put ourselves down on the stage, or the people that, you know, our job,
mm-hmm.
You know, the news. Everything that is taking away our power, everything that takes away your power, you put down below you, and then you offer the forgiveness, and you let it go, and you come back to square one, and you do this daily.
What
a cleansing.
It's a wonderful practice, and I think, again, just to be reflective on life. You know, I think it was Socrates who said, you know, a life, how did that go? Unreflected is a life not worth living. And
yeah,
we need to take that accounting and really check in and see where we are with things, where we are with people, where we are within ourselves, and ask, what do I need to do to
right.
be a greater version of me? How can I have a greater impact in this world? And how can I shine my light brighter? So
that's very true.
I just love this daily practice. This is a wonderful tool for people. And even if they've never had any experience cutting cords, everybody has an imagination, right? And I think you've so beautifully
right.
described it. So people can get started and make their own up. Right?
Well, and even if they don't know, you don't have to know what it was that you're forgiving yourself for, but
mm-hmm.
if you feel bad about something and something starts coming up, you just say the mantra to yourself, I'm sorry, I love you.
That's right.
I forgive you, thank you. And you can do that mantra all day long, saying that to yourself, and you'll feel so much better, and you don't even know what it is that you're forgiving yourself for, but it just feels better.
And you probably weren't even aware that you weren't feeling good about yourself. So
right.
it gives you a point of reference then for you to go forward. It's amazing.
Right.
I love it. Wonderful practical tools. Thank you so much for that. Getting back to the dolphins for a second, I know that you just returned from Hawaii, but I want to ask you a question. Where do you live?
Everywhere. No, my home is in Santa Cruz, California.
Okay.
So I'm about a mile from the ocean, and I do talk to the sea lions and the dolphins over here, but I don't go in this water. This water is really cold.
Ooh.
And in Hawaii, the water there is like almost 80 degrees. It's so much different.
How fantastic. Yeah, because
I'm near water.
Good.
Yes, if I have to be anywhere, I'll be near water, and that never was the case. But you also asked me about how did I learn the chants.
Yes.
The chants were something that were introduced to me along with the huna and the practices, and I just started, you know, listening to them a lot, and they had a little audio cassette of some of them, and I would carry it in the car, and then all of a sudden it was like the chant just grabbed me.
Mm.
And I couldn't stop chanting. It was meant that I learned them. And then I had a teacher, I begged him if he would really correct me and make me sound authentic. He didn't want to at first because, you know, you're a Howley.
Sure.
And Howleys are white people who have no breath. That's what that means. A white person with no breath. So I didn't want to be Howley, but he said it was Pono that I was doing the chants right, and it was right for me to pass them on even though I was a white person.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the blessing, and off I went. I did Chant and Forgiveness first, and then I did the CD Enchantment that has the sounds of the dolphins and whales, and then also brings down the higher self. It has the higher self connection there. And then there's Sleepy Time Chant, which is to quiet the mind so that you can go to sleep at night and go into the dream.
That sounds beautiful. And you have such a gorgeous voice. I could probably listen to it all day. So, yeah, that's lovely. One of the things I wanted to ask you is, I know in the list of tools that you use, or your practices, that you mentioned reconnection. So tell us a little bit about how and why you've integrated this into what you offer people.
Well, about 9 years ago, my son passed over, committed suicide, and he had back problems. And he saw me heal my back, but he couldn't do it that way. It wouldn't go there. He had surgeries instead. And so he was in a lot of pain and on a lot of medication.
I'm so sorry.
And that's how he chose, that's how he chose to end his life. And I was, you know, grief-stricken, and it was very hard for me to carry on and even do my healing practice. And I still cut cords. I still wanted to maintain my health because I didn't want to be a burden on my daughter. But a friend of mine took me to see a movie, a DVD that featured Dr. Eric Pearl and Dr. Bruce Lipton.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called The Living Matrix. Yeah,
yep.
The Living Matrix. And I just resonated with watching Dr. Pearl do this reconnective healing without touching this little boy who had cerebral palsy. And he walked again, and he held a cup after about three sessions, never touched him, but he pulled these frequencies. And I thought, what is he doing? I want to know how to do this. And it hit me almost in the same way as when I was introduced to Huna. And so I had my own reconnective healing. I had a session done to me, and the practitioner doesn't know a thing about you. The best way is they don't know a thing about you. You just lay on their table, and for a half an hour, they pull and stretch these frequencies that are around you. When she finished, my grief seemed to have lifted, and I was light, and I felt joy, and that was a miracle to me, because the heaviness I'd been carrying was just overwhelming. So I had another session, and then a reconnection done, which is done once a year. I'm sorry, once in a lifetime, and that's a 2-day thing where your acupuncture points are accelerated and tied to an axiatonal system in the universe. And anyway, it was powerful, and I went to Chicago to learn how to do it, and then came back and started doing reconnective healing with people. And then once you do your reconnection, which is these drawings that are traced on your acupuncture points, that's done only once in a lifetime, what it does is it accelerates you onto your soul path. And so wherever you're puttering around, it'll boost you up to a higher level, and you'll start thinking of things that you're supposed to be doing. Maybe you would do it in another lifetime, but you're going to do them now. So for me, what it did is it said, you're going to write a book.
Mm.
And I didn't want to write a book. I was not disciplined enough to sit and, you know, what it takes to write a book. But after I had my reconnection done, it was like, okay, what do I have to do? I was just willing, and everything fell into place. That's true. For 3 years, I sequestered myself, but I had fun. I mean, as much fun as I could have purging myself.
Sure.
But it was something that I knew I had to do, and everything fell into place. And when it, you know, when it opened up, it was like the year 12/21/12. That was the day it went live. And that was the day the world was supposed to come to an end.
Wow.
My book went live. So
it well, has in, this... in a sense, your old world did come to an end.
Yeah. No, it did. And I've done hundreds of them now with other people and have watched them, you know, grow in ways that they probably couldn't have before. It just really gave them a shove into that next, you know, quadrant that they were going to create themselves. So that's the reconnective healing. And I can do that on the phone. I can do it long distance. You do it to another person. Whereas the HUNA is taught to you so that you can do it on yourself. Mm. It's self-healing.
Tell me something. I don't mean to interrupt. Go ahead. Finish what your thought was.
No, I'm fine. Okay. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, getting back to the HUNA for a second. So are there still the big kahunas that are available to teach HUNA to others?
Not really.
No. What a heartbreak.
Because the kahunas, even that name kahuna, alluded to a punishment. When the missionaries came over, they saw the kahunas doing this amazing healing stuff, and they thought it was spooky, sacrilegious. They put them in prison. They punished them.
Mm.
So even to this day, you don't call yourself a kahuna. You're a master, perhaps, but it has a, you know, a darker connotation just because of that history. But you can read the books, and I have that bibliography in there. I just studied all the books of Max Freedom Long, and he was a teacher that came to the islands in 1912. And he was just going to stay a short time, and he watched all these phenomenal healings, and he stayed like 40 years because nothing was written down.
Wow.
So it's because of him that we have this ability to replicate or at least, you know, do what he saw and experienced.
Well, all we can say is that we're very grateful for his dedication, that's for certain, because this healing art is something that I know I've spoken to others, and it's unique unto itself, and it's so ancient and has so much to share with us. I'm thrilled that you're carrying on in that vein and that energy, and that you are sharing what you've been given. And so we can only hope that it will just continue on, right?
Well, and look at you. You're bringing people together so they can hear all these amazing practices. So thank you. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you.
Well, again, my honor and my pleasure. So
It's a calling, I think, Marcy. I think it's a calling. It's your calling, and it feeds your soul.
Mm-hmm. It does. And the ripple effect of that is that it feeds the souls of those who listen in and take in all the information that's shared here, because it's profound.
Yeah. Well, the person, you know, they have to be ready, and so all we do is open a door, and then they have to walk through it.
And then they have to find their friggin' joy.
Right.
I love the name of your book. It's fantastic. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, I got that name because I had a friend who was helping me with the dolphin trips, but she was very serious, and she just never really smiled a lot. And we were watching this turtle who was struggling on the rocks, and he was trying to get out of his imprisonment of the rocks and trying to catch a wave. And she just would say, "Oh, that poor turtle, that poor turtle. And all of a sudden, I turned and looked at her, and I said, oh, Tricia, would you just find your friggin' joy? And then he just burst out laughing. Never had done that before. And I just always remembered that. If I could get her to laugh, wow.
Amazing.
That would be a good, yeah, so that's how I remembered that. It was like years before, but that became the title.
Fantastic. So, well, this has been such a wonderful, wonderful conversation, and I know that our listeners are going to feel differently and start to think differently if they give them permission, give themselves permission to do so. And how can they find you, first off?
Well, I am at hunahealing.com, H-U-N-A, healing. Right now, my website is down for some reason, but hopefully it will be up soon, and I've got all the spiritual journeys and different ways that they can connect, and they're able to get the CDs from that website. They're also available at Amazon as well as the book.
So they would just look up your name, Belinda Farrell, and find your CDs and your books?
Yes, okay. Yes, that is correct.
Okay, great. And also, just for anyone listening, don't hesitate in going to Belinda's website, because by the time this is broadcast, I'm sure it'll be up and running without any problem whatsoever.
Oh, great. That's good to know.
Yeah. And just to remember, so it's Huna Healing, hunahealing.com.
Yes.
And again, the name of your wonderful book?
Find Your Friggin' Joy.
Well, you've helped a lot of us find ours today. So.
Well, laughter is the best medicine, right?
It really is. Thank you so much. Do you have any parting words for our audience? Anything that you would like them to take with them from our conversation, or something we haven't touched upon?
Well, I just love, you know, just love being able to spread love. And I think laughter and just caring and being kind to one another, I mean, that's really what we have to hone as our making somebody else happy. That just feeds the soul. And I just think when you do that, you heal yourself.
That's right. Love is all there is.
That's right. Whoever said that was not kidding.
No, they were not kidding. That was divine inspiration. So
I think the Beatles have carried that on.
I think so. Yep, I think so too. Yep. Love is all there is.
And you're never too old to find it.
That's right. And you're never too old.
You're never too old to find it. So I'm looking forward to the next 30 years, whatever that has to bring.
That's fantastic. And again, thank you so much for being here. This was Belinda Farrell. Her website, again, hunahealing.com. And please, if you have any comments or questions that you would like to ask of her, you can contact her either through her website or leave a comment below. We want to know what you've been touched by, what you'd like to know more about. I'm sure that Belinda would be happy to come back and just give us more information. And if this conversation is a small indication of what she has to share, you can see how much there is to the depth of what she has to offer us all. So please let us know your thoughts, your feelings, your questions, and getting ready to sign off. All I can say is that I feel lighter. I feel like I'm sitting in a room with a wonderful, dear old friend. And just sharing in the softness and the tenderness and the truth of all that you've shared. So thank you so much, Belinda, for being here. And I do look forward to our next visit. So thank you, everyone.
Mahalo.
And yes, right
Mahalo.
Back to you. Mahalo. And yes, everyone, just know that you're blessed and that love is all there is. Bye-bye for now.